there's a wonderful verse that, two verses I want to share. One is, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. It never says a tuneful one. And that gives me great comfort. And something that Alfred reminded me of, where's Alfred? Alfred is one of our elders. He reminded me of something a couple of days ago, last week it was. There's a verse about the rocks crying out. And if we remain silent in praise, even the rocks will cry out in God's glory and worship to him. And Alfred was basically saying, let's be like those rocks, but it doesn't need to be a polished thing. It needs to be like a real act of worship like Rod's did. Did anyone else hear him pray earlier and just think, I know the situation that he's in, and he's just prayed such a heartfelt, faith-filled prayer. Wow. And it inspires you when people are lifting up Jesus, even though they're going through a difficult time. Over the coming weeks, we'll be hearing a lot about Christmas. Please be sensitive to the challenges that people may have around Christmas. James said in the first service that some people have already signed up to receive parcels from the pantry in the little Christmas booklets that were getting reprinted because we've run out of the first kind of print run. There's a little QR code, and people have already kind of signed up for a parcel. People are in need this Christmas, but also it may be a hard time, and it might be that a friend or a neighbor or a colleague would really appreciate not just coming to the white Christmas service on the 22nd, which is a quieter, more reflective service for those who have lost our loved ones, however recently. But it might be that they just need to have someone come and sit with them, have a conversation, have a chat with them. There are a whole load of Christmas books and things in the bookstall just outside. Do go and grab some of those books and then pay for them. Don't just grab them and run. And pass them on. There are some wonderful things that you could just give to a neighbor, give to a family member who has young children. The Christmas Story, 5 Designs to Build Yourself Brick by Brick for a Lego fan. There are a few copies of that. We ordered extra copies of the Easy Read Bible last week. The whole box went last week, and we've got one left out there. And if anyone sneaks out during the sermon, I know where you're going. You're probably going to get that one. James, I need the iPad. I'm sorry. I wonder if you have ever seen... this kind of person. Let's just wait. Lois, it's taken a while. Could you just put it up on the screen that the people in the shop? Thank you. Have you ever seen some of these people? Pajama in public people. Okay, I want you to close your eyes and raise your hand if you are one of these people. Okay, there's this fashion or thing of wearing pajamas in public. And 2 Mondays ago, I became one. Hey, don't judge. Thank you. Richard was on security. Our meeting was going on. And Richard's message to say, hey, could you just lock up the front door and set the alarm after I finished? And I went, yeah, that's fine. I got home, got into my PJs. James went home, got into his PJs. Oh, forgot to do the door. So I came down about 11:15 and alarmed. I became one of these people. I wonder what you wear to just chill out at home. I sometimes wear these slippers. They look nice. They're from Sainsbury's. And they're really warm. And it just makes me feel like all cozy, feeling at home. And these people who are pajama people, they feel comfortable enough in public that what they wear at home to relax in, what they live in at home, what they lounge around and rest and re-energize in at home, they're confident enough to wear it in public. I'm not going to ask you to become pajama people, but this morning as we look at our fourth foundation stone, as we have gone through our faithful foundation, I want us to think about how we wear, when we go out, we wear something that's from the inside. Now, inside our home, we rest, we restore, we re-energize, we live, we are fed into. We feel comfortable. But when we go out, so often we put on the best clothes or whatever like that. And in this in the passage that we're looking at, and also in the foundation stone we're looking at, there's this concept of abiding, the slipper, and going, the welly. Because our fourth stone is mission. And I chose a welly because mission is sometimes messy. Going to share with people about Jesus or praying through things with them or that kind of thing, it can get messy. People's lives are sometimes messy. Our lives are sometimes messy. And as we piece together these foundation stones built on the foundation of Jesus, prayer and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and mission. And as God, this was a thought or a sense from one of the elders as we gathered to pray on Wednesday night, God is strengthening these stones and repointing so that they're joined together in a stronger way as we build towards our next season. God is calling us to abide and go into a messy world to share his good news. In September, I shared this quote, a church, or the church, is one decision away from explosive kingdom impact and advancement. Will we decide to not just be people who pray, but be people who pray and go? Will we be people who don't just read the word for ourselves, but actually share it with others? Will we be people who don't just receive the Holy Spirit as an encouragement and a blessing for ourselves within the church, but actually go in the Holy Spirit's power? The bricks, the foundation stones are to be together, and we need to decide that we'll piece them together and go and pray and share the words, empowered by the Spirit, and there will be explosive kingdom impact and advancement. The passage we're looking at is in John 15. If you are a lover of the Gospel of John, during our 8:45 service in 2025, we'll be taking a slow and long, intentional journey through the Gospel of John, beholding Jesus, exalting him and following him. So just to encourage you to consider that. The passage is from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Just to pause there, Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he'll be arrested and then put on trial and then put on the cross the next day. He'll die and 3 days later be resurrected. And he's saying that there will be pruning times so that you can bear more fruit. I wonder if you are going through a time where you just feel that things are shifting and moving and you're You've got to leave some things behind to take up other things. It might be that you're going through a pruning time with God. I think God is actually taking us through a pruning time as a church in prayer and in the Word and the Holy Spirit and in evangelism. There have been knocks and things like that. Some that we've thought, yeah, this is under attack. This is the enemy trying to get in and mess things up. And other things, God's just changing things up, shaking things up so that we can bear more fruit. Verse 3 and 4, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do no thing. Sometimes it's helpful to split that word nothing to no thing, because it emphasizes the nothingness that we can do without Jesus. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And in that last verse, in the last words, Jesus is saying, you'll be doing something that will show that you are my disciples. We as a church are seeking to multiply fully devoted disciples of Jesus. It's up on a pull-up banner there. So if we're trying to be disciples and multiply disciples, there's something about bearing fruit and staying stuck with Jesus, abiding with him or remaining in him, that we need to actually explore how we do and how we grow in it. But let's have a think. What is the fruit that Jesus is talking about? In verse 2, he mentions that about bearing fruit. In verse 4, he mentions it twice. In verse 5, it's not just fruit, but it's much fruit. In verse 8, it's the same phrase, much fruit. So what is it? Maybe in your minds, if you have been a follower of Jesus for a while, you're immediately jumping into Galatians, where it says about the fruit of the Spirit, because actually Jesus is talking about fruit, and well, Galatians talks about fruit, so it must be the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit, yes, Jesus is asking us to bear that fruit of the Spirit, and we can't grow in love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, etc., 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 without abiding, staying connected with Jesus. But actually, this passage isn't talking about Galatians. Galatians hadn't... when Jesus was saying these words, Galatians hadn't been written. The church in Galatia hadn't actually been started when Jesus was saying these words. So what did he mean about fruit? So from this passage and from elsewhere in the Gospel of John, this is the fruit that Jesus means. Verse 10, obedience to what Jesus has said. That's the call of a disciple. Do what Jesus said. In John chapter 2, there's a wonderful phrase from Mary to the servants at a wedding. And they say, she says, do whatever he tells you to do, and points to Jesus. That's a wonderful way, right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, of understanding what this call of being a disciple is. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Obedience, that's part of the fruit. There's joy in verse 11, and to jump back in chapter 14, the peace of Jesus, and experiencing joy and peace. To be able to love one another, verse 12. And then in verse 16 and verse 27 of this chapter, intertwined with prayer and empowerment by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying that we are to testify about Jesus. We're to be witnesses about Jesus. We're going to tell the world about him. Now, so often we've jumped into, from there we go bearing fruit and we think about making disciples. We'll come back to that in a moment. There's a hidden fruit here. And it's hidden in verse 4 and 5. I've put two different versions of the Bible. The NIV uses the word remain, but the NRSV, which tries to go exact word-for-word translation of the original Greek, it says, abide in me as I abide in you. It's just up on the screen. It's also on the YouVersion app if you use the QR code. And in this, there's a hidden fruit that Jesus is talking about. It's talking about embodying Jesus. And sometimes people have taken that to a too far extreme, that the Son of God, Jesus, becomes a son of man, human, so that the sons of man, humans, can become gods. And that takes it too far. But actually, in this, abiding in Jesus and Jesus living within us, as it says at the beginning of verse 4, and in verse 5, Jesus is saying, I want to live in you. I want to embody you, or for you to embody me, actually. I want you to be my hands and my feet. I want you to be my eyes and my ears. I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to be my heart. When you share heart, I want you to share my heart and my love. The theological term is missional theosis, that we as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, do what he tells us to do, but become like him as we allow Jesus to live in us and then through us. So as we do that, we get to be on mission with Jesus. Now, some of us may know what mission is. It's about going overseas. This is just a snapshot of some of the passages in the Bible that describe mission. There's also a definition from a dictionary there. Mission, from the Latin to send, missio, is the in the Bible involves God sending people, including Jesus, to fulfill his purposes across the earth empowered by his Holy Spirit. And there's a whole load of verses about mission, going on mission, making disciples, sharing the gospel, including proclaiming forgiveness, preaching the word, bringing all things under the lordship of Jesus, bringing heaven to earth. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying that God's mission will be done here on earth. Announcing God's salvation, his gift of salvation across the whole earth. These are verses that are on the YouVersion Bible app page if you would like to note them down. I've come up with this. It's not a perfect definition, but I like the working with this. Mission is God's people. That's you and me if we're followers of Jesus. Empowered by God's Spirit. We talked about that last week, and how each one of us who are followers of Jesus cannot just have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, but can be empowered and filled and restored and refueled and refreshed and sent and used by God's Holy Spirit to and do the things that God has asked us to do. Mission is God's people empowered by God's Spirit responding to God's initiative and invite and instruction. God doesn't just say, go and make disciples. He's already come and initiated that ministry. God doesn't just say, could you? Can I invite you to make disciples or be on mission? He initiates and invites and instructs. So whether you're someone that will do something just because God has said, well, if you are that, you're instructed to be on mission, so just do it. Or if you want a more gentle thing, invited to go with him on mission. Well, actually, we also need to join God in mission, responding to his initiative. Right, let's carry on. God's people, empowered by God's Spirit, responding to God's initiative, invite and instruction to see God's world redeemed and restored, meaning transformed by God's Son, Jesus, to God's glory. There might be things that you would add to that or take out of it. Let me know. Have a conversation about it. But mission is not just abiding in the way that some of us have understood abiding. Abide in me as I abide in you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Sometimes we can read John's gospel and we can use some of the missional language in it or the invite, the instruction from Jesus in it to excuse us from going. And there's a tension here. Abiding isn't just resting in his presence. And by resting in God's presence, people will come to faith. Sometimes people might use passages like John 3, 14 and 15. We often remember John 3, 16 and 17. But in John 3, 14 and 15, it says, as the Son of Man is lifted up, people will come and believe as they turn to him. Wonderful. I believe that wholeheartedly. But mission isn't just worshiping God amongst Christians. It isn't just worshiping God at home. It isn't just resting in his presence. Abiding in this passage is an active verb. Let me just unpack that a bit. Hands up if you are resting at home tonight. Okay, keep your hands up because then I can just pick on you. What are you doing? Someone give an example of what you're doing. Yeah, what are you doing? Sorry, you dream of the future. So you're not doing nothing, you are dreaming. Okay. Someone else, what are you doing whilst resting? Watching TV. So you're not doing nothing, you're watching something. Someone else? You're reading. Joanne? Reading from the Bible. Wow, holy. Well done, Joanne. When we rest, we often do things in order to rest and be restored. When we abide in Jesus and he in us, when we remain in him and he in us, we're doing things. It isn't just a passive thing. It's an active verb that we're doing something in order to remain connected. Now, who cycles? Paul. Which wheel of the bike does the power come from? The rear wheel. I want you to picture a bike. The rear wheel of the bike is our abiding in Jesus. That's where the power comes from. To go anywhere, we need to actually move the abiding pedals. The front wheel of the bike is the going on mission. Two wheels of a bike, abide and go. If you try to go without abiding, you don't have any power. And you'll soon flop and fall over. And sometimes people strive and strive and strive. I'm going to make disciples because Jesus has told me to. I'm going to see God's kingdom come because that's what I want and God wants and things like that. And they try to do it themselves. And it's like cycling without the pedals, without the power. And in these verses, Jesus is inviting us in our present and in our future to have these two bike wheels, the power from abiding with him, sticking with him. But not just staying put, actually going somewhere and saying to Jesus, I'm going to abide with you. And because I'm embodying you, being your hands and feet and things like that, you're going to take me places to go and do what you want to do. This is a missional tension. Abiding and going. Abiding, slipper. Going, welly. If you put on your wellies later on because you're going for a walk, you will hopefully think, I'm going somewhere. I could still wear my slipper. I'm not going to because it'll get muddy, but it will come into your memory. If it doesn't, then write it down now so it does. Or, yeah, I don't know. In John's gospel, there is also another missional tension. And some people within the Western church will use attractional or invitational mission as the only way that they do mission. We're going to attract you to church by the wonderful coffee and cake. We're going to invite you to different things because if I just invite you along, I don't have to introduce you to Jesus because that's a little bit scary. So I'm just going to invite you to something. The disciples in John chapter 1 say to other disciples to then meet Jesus and become a follower. They say, come and see. Come and meet Jesus. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, come and meet a man who told me everything about me. And there's that come and see, and I'm not knocking attractional and invitational evangelism. I'm also not knocking go and tell. Go and tell people who are far from God everything about Jesus and introduce them to Jesus. Jesus calls us to do both. As we abide and go, we need to be people who say, come and meet Jesus. We also need to be people who go and tell others about Jesus, who go on mission. Over the coming weeks, we've got different events in church, and people will not come to those events unless we say, come along, come and see, come and hear. The ice skating at the hub will just simply be an ice rink in this room that people enjoy. And that's okay, I guess. But if we're attracting them to Jesus by an ice rink, then we've got to keep on doing ice rinks, don't we? What we need on that day is people praying that they have that people have conversations about Jesus. We need people who don't just invite people to come to the ice skating, but actually are serving refreshments or having conversations and just saying, how's your preparation for Christmas going? It can be really stressful, can't it? Is there anything I can pray for you this Christmas? Or how are you preparing to celebrate Christmas this year? And as people share, you can say, it's interesting that so much of society has lost the celebration of Jesus becoming a human or taking on human form. Ice skating at the hub, come and see, come and hear. What if it's true, our Advent series, virgin birth next week, the week after, dreams, then the week after that, angels, and the week after that, star nav, not sat nav. In the Christmas story, there are some weird things. But if we look at those weird things and think that they're unbelievable and therefore we're going to dismiss it, or our friends might look at them and think, no, virgin birth, that doesn't happen. They could be dismissing something that is truly unbelievable. And actually the unbelievable truth behind the Christmas story is that you are loved beyond your wildest dreams. And you are more sinful than you ever realized. But the first truth that I shared is still true, that God loves you anyway. And he loved you enough that his son would come down to this earth, taking off the glory of heaven and taking on the humility and the humiliation of being a human. And that's completely unbelievable. But what if it is true? And as Christians, we believe that it is. And it might be that people that are in this room now or online or people that you know in the community need to come and hear about the unbelievable truths of Christmas. These are come and see, come and hear kind of things. And as we saw at the beginning of the service, we've got Alpha starting in the new year as well. They're come and see, come and hear, come and meet Jesus kind of things. And there are many more over the coming weeks. These are go and tell things. Jane Owen, could you please just give us a wave? Jane goes into this care home, Austin Woods care home, every Tuesday. She goes on mission, clothing herself, not in pajamas, but in embodying Jesus in order to help people in that care home meet Jesus and encounter him as she prays with them and sings with them and things. Maybe you want to join her, going and telling. Who recognizes this church? And Alfred, you answered in the first service, so I'm not going to ask you. New Mill Baptist Church, where Jackie Bewey and Andy Bewey are currently, and Jackie's pastor there. She would love us to have a team go and not just lead a service, but to actually help them out. They have quite an elderly congregation, and their lounge, not in Jackie and Andy's home, but in the church, just needs freshening up with a bit of sanding and a lick of paint, so that as people come in, it's a caring, welcoming environment, and the outreach cafe that Jackie is leading can actually be in a nice environment. We're looking at having a team go over there and on the Saturday redecorate and on the Sunday lead the service. There'll be an opportunity to sign up for that over the coming weeks. I'll be sending out an email. Arise, the evangelism campaign in June. We've already got 5 hosting churches and at least 4 sending churches from different places, hosting churches in the UK, sending churches from Korea and America. I want our church to be, and believe it's right to put the challenge out there, that we're a sending church this year as well as a hosting church. But it isn't just Arise UK. In 2025, we'll be sending a team to Spain to work with Wayne and Susan Robinson. If you're a Spanish speaker or you are someone who loves Jesus and wants to go on mission with him, that's an opportunity that I would love to speak to you about. And then there's also Minas Bay. These are just examples of going and telling. Anyone observant enough to see the image that I haven't mentioned? So the one in the middle is a baby in a manger, and that was the photo taken last year in the prayer room. We need to be people who abide in Jesus. And if we're not praying and encountering Jesus in his word and by his Holy Spirit, remember those previous 3 weeks foundation stones, if we're not abiding in him, in prayer, in his word, and by his Holy Spirit, as we go, it will just have no power at all. Those who abide in me, Jesus says, and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, we can do nothing. Now, in the Greek language that this verse was written in, the tense that is used for the word abide isn't a tense that we have in English, but the word abide is an active verb that is based on something that's happened in the past that determines what happens in the present and in the future. How can we abide in Jesus and he in us? Well, we look back to 2 things. We look back to the cross and resurrection of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, and we look back to the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is how we can abide in him and actively have that power to be on mission, to go back and say, Jesus, when you died for me. When you rose bringing new life, and I am alive because you live. And Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. There's 2 things that we can go back to, which determines how we can abide in the present and in the future. And I want to pray into that now. And the worship group will come and lead us in worship. But I want to ask this question just as we pray. Where will you grow and where will you go? Will you grow and go here in Chalfont or in other places in the UK or in Europe or elsewhere in the world? Who will you say, come and see, come and hear, come and meet? Who will you tell about Jesus? Let's pray together. Jesus, with one foot in a slipper, symbolizing abiding in you, and one foot in a welly, symbolizing going with you, I want to just pray into those two things for us as a church. That as we look towards Christmas, as we look towards 2025 and our future as a church, the next season of this church's history, I pray, God, that you will take us into a deeper place of abiding with you and in you and embodying you. Thank you, God, for that promise that it isn't just us in you, but you choose to dwell in us, to abide in us. Jesus, we recognize that trying to do life, or let alone mission, without you is like trying to go scuba diving without any oxygen, or do a spacewalk without being attached to the spaceship. We can't do it. We need you. And Jesus, praying for us as we go, thank you, God, that every time there's a mention of mission or being sent, there's so often a promise of you empowering or you being with us. And we just receive that promise now. In Jesus' name, amen.